This is Central Standard. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. What happens when Walmart comes to town? And what happens when Walmart leaves? These two questions are being considered across the metro as the giant retailer looks to expand in Lee's Summit, Mission, Shawnee, and the Waldo neighborhood in Kansas City, Missouri. Meanwhile, the Roland Park store will soon close, and maybe the one in Bonner Springs, too. In some of these communities, residents are protesting Walmart's arrival. Others are doing all they can to lure the store in. On today's Central Standard, we look at Walmart's impact on local communities. Does it bring economic development, lower prices, lower wages? In the second half of the show, we'll talk with a representative from the Arkansas-based corporation. But first, we welcome economics professor Mike Hicks, who's the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at Ball State University. Mike, thanks for joining us.
All right, good to be with you, Sylvia.
Before we begin, let me ask you all, Kansas City, how has Walmart affected your neck of the woods? Join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. So, Mike, does Walmart get more scrutiny than other big box stores when it comes to town?
No, I think so. I don't think it gets more scrutiny than Sears did 75 years ago. But I think because they're such a big market leader and there's been such efforts to unionize, and they're getting more closely looked at than a Target or a Kmart, and for a variety of reasons. I think that's certainly true.
I mean, are they that different from a Target or a Kmart?
I hate to say this. I don't do a lot of shopping. The fact is that there are a few distinctive features of them, but in terms of the footprint on a community and the types of effects that a community might feel or even an entire supply chain, they're very much like a Target or a Kmart. But because they're so ubiquitous, and I think because their expansion that occurred in Kansas really in the 1970s and 1980s was so abrupt, it really made everyone feel like Walmart was swallowing the country. And so that gives it a different flavor, I think, than a Target.
Was there a particular kind of growth in Kansas or in Missouri? We're right here on state line here in Kansas City.
Right. So Walmart, it's 50 years old. Walmart started in 1962, went public in 1969, and they adopted a very unusual growth pattern. They spread out from their central location in Bentonville with all the new stores located within an hour of each other and of one another. And so the idea was to provide some sort of layer of managerial support for these new stores. And because of that, if you lived in Kansas at the time Walmart came through, or Missouri when it came through, you went through maybe a three-year period from the first Walmart being built to the last major store being built in the state. So you couldn't take a weekend drive anywhere without seeing Walmarts being thrown up at along the interstate and in places that you might shop. And that gave it an incredible feel of overwhelming the local businesses, even though they're ultimately no different really than a Target or a Kmart in terms of their effect.
Huh. Well, it's interesting now that people are questioning a second Walmart or maybe even a third within a few miles from each other moving in. But one of the biggest concerns that you're mentioning here is that Walmart kills local small businesses because they can't compete on prices. And I understand that's one of the focuses of your research that you've done.
Right. I've done a lot of work on Walmart over the past decade. It's a fairly consuming interest. And I think the best read of the research that I can take, and not everybody agrees with me, but I think the bulk do, that it's the real effect that Walmart has isn't on the mom-and-pop stores, with the exception of maybe a few in a very, very rural areas, West Virginia or northern Nevada, that sort of thing. And the reason is that that's not the customer they're aiming for. They're aiming for the Kmart shopper or the Sears shopper. And so by 1962, there were very few mom-and-pop stores left. And so even at the time that Walmart was founded, renaming some Ben Franklin stores, really in the 1960s, the day of the mom-and-pop retailer had passed. And so what you see is really huge competitive pressure on the other big-box formats that weren't as effective at delivering low-priced products. But you don't need an economist to tell you that. You could just look at the stock price of Kmart or Sears over the past couple of decades to see who Walmart was really hurting.
So it doesn't really kill local businesses.
No, there was one study in the 1980s performed by some folks at Iowa State that looked specifically at Iowa in the 1980s. And they said, well, you know, Walmart's really killing small businesses here. And they made a prediction that would have had all small businesses go away in Iowa by the mid-1990s. Today, there are more small businesses, small retailers in Iowa than there have ever been. But Kmart and Sears have really lessened their footprint there. And so it turns out that study, which was very influential for a long time, made the mistake of looking at a period of time in which agriculture in Iowa was diminishing. And so much of the research that I've done and a lot of other folks, Emmett Basker at University of Missouri there, have come up with answers that are closer to zero effect on small businesses. But during that time, over the past decade, both Sears and Kmart have gone bankrupt. And I think that is sort of anecdotal evidence that what's happening here is competitive efforts between big box stores, not a desire, an interest, or even a concern for where people are shopping at smaller retailers.
But when we do go to small towns, I mean, I've talked to owners of hardware stores and pharmacies, and they feel like their customers are going to Walmart.
Right. There are still some of those left. You know, interestingly, a chapter of my book is this, you know, long study of chain stores. And in 1939, the High School Debating Society in the United States they have some common questions that they debate. What is resolved? Are chain stores good for America? Mm-hmm. And that was at the end of, so that's 1939, kind of an odd thing to have been debating at the time.
Right.
But the biggest chain stores ever were A&P. They were 14,000 retailers by 1940. And Walmart right now is like a 3,500. So Walmart is a fraction of the retail giant that A&P was, this agglomeration of retailers. And so that phenomenon of mom-and-pop stores being clobbered really happened in the 20s and 30s. And what we have are independently owned chains or franchises that have been having problems with Walmart. But they were having problems with Kmart and Sears long before Walmart came to town. Walmart was just better at delivering a bigger selection of products, I think 80,000 products in a typical superstore at much lower prices than Kmart. You have to lament the loss of these smaller retailers, but really what's happening is the successful ones are growing in areas that are not directly competing with Walmart. So if you're a hardware store and you're trying to compete with Lowe's, or if you're a dry goods store and you're trying to compete with Walmart, you're probably going to go out of business. If you're going to offer something different based on service or quality or selection in a very narrow area, they are doing quite well, and we don't really have a retail crisis in that area in this country, despite the pain that some small towns may feel.
Well, you're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Our guest is Mike Hicks, the economist, and we're discussing the effect of Walmart on local communities. This is a continuation of a conversation we began over the weekend on Casey Currents, with a look at proposed Walmarts in Lee's Summit and Waldo, as well as the relocation of the Roland Park store. You can find those stories on our website. But share your thoughts now, 816-235-2888, or post your comments to Facebook or on Twitter. Our handle is KCURCST. And Mike Hicks, now, I wonder if we can go over some of the concerns that residents are bringing up here in Kansas City as Walmart comes in. One thing that people bring up is the effect that the store can have on their property values. They're concerned, particularly in the Lee's Summit area. I heard some people saying that they felt like the development was not as upscale as their community.
Right. There actually been, in the past 5 or 6 years, a number of studies of the effect of Walmart on property values. And unless you're directly adjacent to it, unless you're, 500 or 1,000 feet from the property, there seems to be no real effect. That's kind of shocked me. I didn't do the studies. These are other studies that I have read and examined. They do have some effect on commercial property. They boost it because the outlots to a Walmart are attractive. I am sensitive to the fact that there are congestion concerns very often locally with the Walmart store or any large-scale retail development. So if you were to have a big box store next door to you, it wouldn't really matter if it was a Walmart or a Costco or a Target or a JCPenney. All of those would impose some sort of congestion cost and make it harder to, get around on a Saturday morning and maybe exacerbate your drive home. But in terms of actual property value diminishment, unless you're, visually affected by the store, it seems not to have much of an effect.
And what about a Walmart as an anchor for future economic development? Does it make sense for a town to offer tax incentives because they feel like eventually the sales tax of that store will bring in will benefit the community?
Generally the answer would be a very cautious no. The only type, and I've studied this, I looked at my book at sort of very extreme examples of tax incentives that were offered in California in the 1980s and 1990s to lure Walmart to particular neighborhoods. The effect of this really translated into no greater economic activity in the community there. Think about it. Walmart's about a net. If a population is growing, you bring Walmart in. If it's a very populated area, they're going to add some jobs. But it's just not it's not squelching out, bad retail. Retail comes and goes all the time. The survivability of a retail store is often measured in months, the average store. And so Walmart comes in, they bring in 350 to 550 jobs. They're going to absorb some other jobs. Most recent paper that I've just had published this fall with two colleagues here, suggested that it pretty much offsets there's a closing of another big box store locally as a consequence of it. And so you're just moving economic activity around. The only caveat that I would have is that I think a lot of the tax incentives, and I'm not familiar with Kansas City's experience, but many of them are really only allow Walmart to use tax dollars that they would have otherwise paid to make some sort of infrastructure improvement that is the responsibility of the city. So, for example, if a community is zones that a certain amount of traffic requires a traffic light and curbed roads and water and sewer, having Walmart do that and deferring taxes for a couple of years might be cheaper for the community than it would be to contract for that. But other than that, trying to lure Walmart to your town is just, a very egregious use of a tax incentive, which are, in general, fairly dubious for even the use of, for other uses like a headquarters or manufacturing facility. And I know your economic developers may wince at that, but the truth is that this is just not a very good use of tax dollars in general. The evidence is no better than very mixed on its effectiveness.
Well, the sales tax dollars that it would bring in can be a significant part of a city's budget, particularly when we're looking at these small municipalities around the Kansas City area. There's a Walmart in Roland Park that's going to be moving eight-tenths of a mile to Shawnee, but taking all that sales tax revenue with it.
Right. Well, if that's the case, what you really have is the evidence of a poor public finance conditions, not a incentive basket for businesses. So if a community is actually better off by, paying a Walmart to come, and let me back up, I think most of these decisions for Walmart are independent of taxes. They're looking at a site, where people are that they can make money at, and the tax incentive element is a fairly small piece of it. A typical store is going to make about $10 million of profit a year. Hmm. Right? So whatever incentives are being driven by that by that facility probably is not a major consideration. What they're probably looking for is a bigger area that they can add more grocery items and more of the extra services that they provide at the front part of the store. That said, for a very small town that is worried about tax dollars like that, then this is a very strong argument for consolidation. If the natural relocation of a retail format is something that matters that much to a city's budget, it's too small of a city.
Interesting. We have a couple of callers here. First, hi, Mike in South Kansas City.
Yes, and pardon me, Mike Cameron, and I'm glad the professor, I think it is,
yes,
is still on. Anyways, I think of Walmart as kind of being like, let me say the competition to Walmart being like General Motors, and that they're, they've got the market, put out a car, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of think that Sears and Kmart and the others probably got caught up in that situation. So I'll just shut up and hang up. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That is a similar situation, as you were saying, when Sears came in, in the 30s?
Yeah, Sears, Sears and Roebuck started out as a mail order catalog, and local retailers went crazy. In fact, there were rumors spread by the Klan in the South that Sears was owned by black entrepreneurs to try to keep people from purchasing them, and they offered deliveries in a brown, unmarked brown, paper bag wrapper, so that nobody would know that you were buying from Sears, right? So this was the 1920s and 1930s. And both Kansas and Missouri offered laws that were later struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court on taxing chain stores differently. And so there's a lot of angst about them. They seem like big behemoth monsters. But the fact is that when that summer of 1962, which is the summer I was born, saw the creation of Kmart, Target, and Walmart all in that summer. Hmm. And it was a recognition that the format had changed. Americans were now driving, not walking to their stores. And so Kresge, which spun off of Kmart, realized that they needed some bigger format, and that so the supply chain availability of the interstate highway system, the increasing consumer purchasing power of Americans meant that having a big store with a lot of selection made more sense, and Walmart was just a lot better at it and has stayed fairly true to their founding principles, which is unusual amongst chain stores. And there's a they have gone through all kinds of most chain stores don't survive very well the death of an important founder. So, for example, A&P was founded shortly after World War II, the Civil War, but over about 40 years went from 300 to 14,000 stores. The death of that major corporate entrepreneur led the company to just collapse within 10 years, down to like 4,000 or 5,000 stores. And so that experience has been replayed out throughout the last century. But the chain stores and the Walmart are a reincarnation of the Sears and the JCPenney of the 1920s and 1930s.
Interesting. We have a caller here, Susie in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Susie.
Hi. I just had a question about, on the back end of things, how does it affect our manufacturing whenever they're expecting to be able to sell things for such a low cost that they can't manufacture under those costs and they have to ship things overseas instead?
And manufacture overseas, is that what you mean?
Right. Whenever they have to manufacture things overseas instead of using American companies because we can't afford to manufacture things for such a low price.
Is that something that you've looked at, Mike?
Right, great question. A great paper by a University of Missouri professor, Emick Basker, actually sort of traced Walmart's decision to buy Chinese goods with the opportunity for Chinese manufacturers to expand in the United States to get that experience. The fact is, though, that despite all the worry about manufacturing in the U.S., and I've actually been to Missouri to talk about their strength in manufacturing over the past few years, the fact is we're making more manufactured goods now than we ever have in the past. Manufacturing is doing great in the United States. We're just absolutely knocking the socks off of manufacturing production. But here's what makes it difficult to understand for most Americans. We're doing it with fewer people because we're really good at it. So we're not shipping jobs overseas. What we're doing is technologically replacing workers in jobs with, in the same way we did with agriculture 75 years ago. And so the fact is that the things that we buy at Walmart that are made in China that we can't compete with here would not otherwise be made, and we're making higher-end stuff just with fewer workers. And that is independent of Walmart. If Walmart vanished tomorrow, manufacturers would still be doing everything they can to squeeze productivity out of manufacturing in the same way Walmart's trying to squeeze it out of their supply chain with information technology and radio frequency identification and all those other aspects of commerce.
Right. Well, I have to ask before we leave you about jobs and one of the benefits that gets brought up are the number of jobs that a Walmart might be bringing to town. Now, you mentioned that those jobs might just be coming right out of another big box store that might close. But what are those jobs like at Walmart? I mean, do they lower wages? I know there may be some research that suggests that.
Well, I know that I found great question. I have a study that suggests that Walmart does sort of boost Medicaid costs in a community. And that was a study up till 2005, which I think actually ironically helped Walmart sort of think about how they offer medical care to their employees. Always the proof is in the pudding here. If Walmart comes to town and offers jobs to people that are worse than the ones they have at a Kmart or a Sears, then why would somebody leave a Sears or Kmart to take the job in Walmart? I mean, for them to sell something, they have to have employees there, right?
Right.
And so the best way to judge the quality of a job is how people vote with their feet. So if people say, oh, I'm going to go to Walmart in lieu of Kmart, then you would suppose the job is better. But better is a relative thing. You know, retail jobs are not good-paying jobs. They have very poor benefits, and the hours are often very uncomfortable and very often not offered full-time. And but I would say a very small share of the employees at Walmart are sort of careerists. They're casual employees. They're picking up a few extra dollars in high school or college, that sort of thing. But they are a fairly vulnerable labor force in that they're typically low-skilled. They don't have many other options. And so, I think it's reasonable to ask Walmart, are you offering health care? You know, you're the industry leader. Are you offering industry-leading health care? Don't compare their health care to that at a manufacturer that is paying, you know, five times the labor costs because of the human capital demands, but are you an industry leader in those areas? I think they'll say they probably are. I think the proof is always in the pudding, looking at it, not just what they say, but I think those are reasonable considerations. But no, these are not big job engines for a community, nor do they hurt jobs, though.
So that's not necessarily a good argument for bringing a Walmart in, that it will create good jobs.
No. I mean, there are the jobs in there are probably preferable to the other options that are available. Look, I live in a college town, and a lot of students work there because of, great opportunity for to pick up some hours and to make money. But, no, these are not economic engines. They're not something you would want to keep out because they're not the $25 an hour jobs. Nobody is going to leave a $25 an hour manufacturing job for an $8 or $9 Walmart job. They'll leave a $7.50 an hour job to go to an $8 Walmart job.
Hmm. Now, as our local communities consider whether they want to lure a Walmart, I mean, is what should they be looking at?
Right. Well, I wouldn't worry about the business decisions. I wouldn't worry about whether or not Walmart's smart enough to figure out where to put stores. They clearly are. I'd worry more about things that matter. Do you have the infrastructure that could support, you know, water drainage? Do you have the roadway? Do you have the traffic lights and those sorts of things? Is this the type of thing that you want in your community just because of the foot traffic? So those are the fundamental questions that you need to think about when you're looking at a Walmart.
Right. Thank you. Mike Hicks is an economics professor at Ball State University in Indiana. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for your interest.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll hear from residents of Lee's Summit about a proposed Walmart in their community. And Walmart's director of communications joins us. Central Standard returns in just a moment. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. With so many communities around Kansas City examining proposals for new Walmart stores, we're looking at the economic and social impact of the store on a neighborhood or town. In a few minutes, we'll talk to the director of communications for Walmart. But first, residents of Lee's Summit weighed in at a city council meeting last week on a proposal for a new Walmart at Highway 150 and Southwest Market Street. That would be the second Walmart in Lee's Summit. Let's hear some voices from that meeting.
Walmart simply does not spur the high-quality development that we and the city would like to see in that area. And that is evidenced by the surrounding establishments around the current Walmart. You have a lot of fast food, the dollar store. That's not the kind of development we want to see in our area.
Several years ago, Walmart built a store in Belton, there west or east of 71, just north of 58. After they built it, the whole area in Belton and Raymore started expanding, and I mean expanding big time. Then Walmart had to move southeast across Caddy Corner, across the road into Raymore to get a bigger store to be able to help, you know, handle the merchandise for the people. Since that time, the city of Raymore and Belton and that whole area out there, the development has really grown.
There are actually three Walmart supercenters within 10 to 15 minutes of where we're located. There is one in Harrisonville. The other concern I have with a Walmart location tends to be Walmart moves into a location, stays there for a few years, and then moves to a different location. We experienced that here in Lee Summit with the Third and Ward location that is now a Hy-Vee when they moved to the north. Blue Springs, I believe, still has an empty Walmart. Harrisonville has an empty Walmart location. Belton has an empty Walmart location as they have moved to different locations. So that's my concern. With that much retail space, we already have retail locations in that part of town that do not have tenants currently. And I'm concerned that new tenants won't move into those locations fearing that they have to compete with Walmart.
I am just asking you tonight, if this goes through, do not make the mistake that other city councils have made by not ensuring that if a Walmart were to close in Lee Summit, whether the one up there off of Tudor or the one here, that we don't have this same situation where a building sits empty and it's only used in case of a disaster with a tornado or whatever. Please make sure that they take care of that building and it does not sit there and grow weeds and grow rats.
I would like to thank Walmart for bringing their application forward. I welcome all investment in the community and the desire of Walmart to place a second store in Lee Summit. Suggest to me that Lee Summit is seen as a vibrant and growing community. I also appreciate that Walmart is not asking for any kind of tax incentive in this application.
By this development, is South Lee Summit becoming safer and more secure? Is this allowing for high quality upscale development? Or is it simply likely to be more profitable location for Walmart to locate there?
I understand totally where the people are coming from. On the other hand, as a city council member, I understand the need for the sales tax.
The Mormons own the land north of us. You can't do anything with it. You can't get any taxes from that except farmland. And I know what I'm paying for farmland. It ain't much for taxes. And I hear that that's for the second coming, the land, And if God comes over here and sees there's no Walmart, he probably won't stay. So thank you very much.
The proposed South Walmart will be less than 1 mile from Trail Ridge Elementary, Summit Lakes Middle School, and a couple of daycares. While we are unsure how these entities will be affected, our concern is with the correlation of crime and Walmart within such a short distance from these types of organizations.
And joining us now to talk about Walmart's impact on local communities is Daniel Morales, Director of Communications for the company. Thanks for taking some time to talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You know, sometimes it's hard to remember that every business, no matter how large, starts off as an idea and often as a small business. How did Walmart grow from Sam Walton's original Five and Dime store in Bentonville, Arkansas, to the world's largest retailer?
Well, you know, I think if you look at the company culture and Sam Walton's vision was, you know, a lot of hard work and trying to bring people everyday low prices and making sure they're meeting demands by the customer's demands and requests in order to be able to fulfill their needs. And I think Sam Walton, one of the things he instilled in the company was, you know, if you give people what they're looking for, you can help them save money and help them live better. And that's something we work with on every single day, and making sure we bring the products and services to our customers all across the country. And what you see all across the country is customers want to shop and work at Walmart, and in fact, many already do.
And what remains of the store's Arkansas roots in today's big super centers?
You know, I think you'll see the a lot of things that are still very much alive in the way we do and work. Our core basic beliefs, the respect for the individual, the customer, those are things that we always look at and are constant in our everyday work at Walmart, making sure that we're bringing the products, the services, and our everyday low prices to our customers. And I think, you know, customers see that, you know, wherever we, all across the country, where you see our stores, our parking lots are full, there's people shopping our stores, and people really have come to see Walmart as a place where they can save money and live better.
And in a lot of rural communities, particularly, instead of a diner or a barbershop, Walmart has become the place where the community meets. Is that just by chance, or is that by design?
No, I think you'll see that in a lot of countries and in a lot of counties all over, you know, Kansas and all over the United States. You know, Walmart's become a focal point because it's a large employer in the town, because people know other people who work at Walmart, because they shop at our stores every day, and because we are part of the fabric of those communities. And we're proud to be a part of that fabric of that community and be able to serve not only our customers but provide those jobs. And you'll see that our customers recognize the importance of our stores in the community, but also the impact that we've had, by bringing jobs and our services to those areas.
Now, what are the mechanics of Walmart being able to offer the quote, everyday low prices that you're known for?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that go into that, but a lot of it has to do with ensuring that we can, you know, provide, work with our suppliers, and make sure that we operate what we would call our everyday low prices, or that we can deliver our everyday low prices by ensuring everyday low costs. So we make sure that we're looking at, you know, every single part of the business and making sure that we're doing things in a way that can help us offer our customers our very best prices. So there's a lot that goes into that, but it's ensuring that we have our customers' interests in mind all the time in everything that we do.
Now, there is a lot of talk in Kansas City right now about Walmart moving into some neighborhoods, moving out of others. Some residents are protesting the arrival of the store, while others are doing everything they can to woo a Walmart to their neck of the woods. Do you think Walmart gets more scrutiny than other big chain stores?
But, you know, let me start by saying that our customers have recognized that we've made efforts in recent years to be an even better company by leaning on issues that are important to them, like healthcare, sustainability, hunger and nutrition, women's empowerment. And it's clear that the more people get to know the facts about us, the more they see the value in bringing Walmart stores to the community. And more elected officials and stakeholders, I think they recognize that Walmart can be part of the solution when it comes to job creation, economic development, or even improved access to health care, improved access to healthier, affordable food.
And I want to talk more about that in a minute, but why do you think Walmart does get that kind of scrutiny when it comes in?
You know, I think that a lot of times people are, I think part of it is us listening to our customers and engaging. Part of it is engaging with the community to listen, answer questions, and share information about the company, because I think a lot of times what happens is that we end up answering their questions and alleviating their fears about our stores and their neighborhoods. And what we've done also is just also incorporate a more flexible approach to communities that includes different types of formats. So it could be a neighborhood center or a super center, and having conversations with the local leaders to help them understand what our stores and the positive aspects of our stores and their communities.
And what are the different types of formats? Right now we're talking about one store that's in an urban area that's going to be a neighborhood market. Mm-hmm. And I know they're the super centers. I'm wondering, what are the formats that Walmart is developing now?
Yeah, so Walmart has our typical, what people have come to see or known in a lot of places around Kansas is our super center. Our super centers are anywhere between 150,000 square feet to approximately 180 or 200,000 square feet. And that's what normally, and square feet is really hard to sort of give a picture of, but that is sort of what our stores, our big stores, you'll see with general merchandise, electronics, and sort of a full line of groceries. And those stores have been around for some time now, since the 80s. What we're looking at in Kansas, and particularly in some places there, is the Walmart Neighborhood Market. And the Walmart Main Neighborhood Market was meant to is a grocery-only store. It's a much smaller store, and it's normally just the size of what everybody knows as a grocery store. It carries some general merchandise, but mostly home items, a pharmacy, health and beauty. It has, obviously, everything a grocery store would have, from fresh food, fresh foods to dairy, bakery, et cetera. And those stores are made for quick trips for people, the fill-in trips between a stop at a supercenter. They're made for convenience and for easy access. These stores typically hire, or these two stores typically have about 85 to 90 associates, whereas a supercenter will have approximately 300 associates working at the store.
And are there some in between? I understand that some stores are maybe being marketed as a higher-end type of Walmart as opposed to the discounter image that Walmart has had.
But, you know, we're always going to offer our customers our everyday low prices and all the products and services that we have. I think what you're referring to is making sure that we're appropriately merchandising our stores to reflect those communities. And everybody has some different tastes and preferences, and we want to make sure that we're providing those products and services that people are looking for in those communities. And so I think what you've seen is, or what you've probably heard or referring to, are sort of those variances where, you know, you might have a different type of product that people are looking for depending on their neighborhood or on their preference.
And is that a difference in maybe the architecture too?
No, I think most of that is pretty much standard. You know, we do want it to reflect the community, but you know, our super centers and our neighborhood markets usually have a pretty standard look and feel. You'll see some across the country that might have some sort of unique features, but I think those are sort of incorporated on a case-by-case basis. And really, what we're looking to do is make sure that the store can complement its surroundings. So you'll see some features that might be different. I wouldn't necessarily call them higher end, but they may just be something that does reflect their surrounding neighborhood.
And how do you decide where a new store will go?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into that, and unfortunately, we don't necessarily talk of that. But one thing I can tell you is that our real estate selection process is centered on communities that may be underserved in terms of jobs or access to fresh food, as well as neighborhoods where residents want healthy and affordable choices, or where they've told us that they could use more choices. Because more shopping choices.
Here in the Kansas City area, I understand there may be about 20 Walmarts, and there are some moving in as close as 5 miles or closer to an existing Walmart. I wonder, how does that happen? Sometimes people feel like, well, maybe there are enough already.
Well, you know, we think our customers always appreciate having more affordable options close to where they live or work, and people like convenience, and we want to make sure that we can provide them the convenience and the affordable options close to where they live and work.
One of the issues in the Walmart shuffle that's happening right now in the Kansas City area is that stores might leave one town or small city to go to another that's, like I said, a few miles away. That can leave towns with a big gap in their budget where the sales tax revenue came in and a big empty building. Is there anything Walmart can do to mitigate the effects of that kind of move?
You know, and everywhere we do business, this is something we take a close look at. I think in the particular, in the reference that you're making, we were actually looking to expand in the current footprint of that store. We could no longer expand.
I think that's in the Roland Park area where it's moving to Mission.
That's correct. And as we look into expanding, and as we, you know, our customers were asking for more choices, for a greater variety, for more grocery, and we just couldn't provide them that in their current existing structure. So what we've done is, you know, we're going to be moving, relocating the store in order to be able to provide our customers what they're asking us for.
And one of the reasons I understand you're talking about moving to upgrade facilities and all of that, do tax incentives also play a role in these moves?
You know, in this particular case, it's a developer-led project. So we take a close look at sort of the we want to make sure that we're able to provide our customers our everyday low prices, and we want to make sure we can do it close to where they live and work. In this particular case, this is sort of part of another development, of retail development, where we're coming in. So we're part of this whole development that is being led by a developer, and you know, really the developer is sort of negotiating, has been working with the city on those different terms and sort of incentives, but Walmart is not, from my understanding, not part of those discussions.
Now, you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. We're speaking with Daniel Morales of Walmart about the company's impact on local communities. Can you say a little bit more about the impact? Like, how does a town, maybe a small suburban town in the Kansas City area, benefit from a Walmart moving in or a second Walmart moving in?
Sure. Look, I mean, one thing is Walmart stores help stimulate economic development and jobs in surrounding areas. A lot of times, you know, the small businesses that, you know, we talk a lot about small businesses being displaced, and the small businesses that surround our store generally have products and services we don't offer or are strong in areas where we don't compete, you know, from restaurants, salon, banks, florists, to bookstores, specialty grocers, and, you know, there's a lot of wine and spirit shops around our stores. There's dozens of small business categories that will typically surround our stores.
Well, wait a minute. Those are things that Walmart does carry, like flowers and bread and wine and all of those items.
That's correct. And a lot of times we happily coexist next to each other because we know that it's a competitive market and people are looking, you know, people have different tastes and preferences. And so, you know, there's a lot of times where we'll be next to a, specialty shop that might offer some of the same products and services that we may, or even, it could be a sports store, sporting goods store. And we happily coexist with these, not only that, but with other grocery stores in cities all over the country.
And are there ways in which Walmart develops relationships with some of these local merchants?
You know, every store manager does develop relationships with their neighbors, and I think, you know, you'll see the small businesses come and compare our prices and look at our selection so that they can be more competitive in the marketplace. And I think that is something that we're open to. They can come in our stores and look at our selection and price and products, and they can tailor to fit their needs and their market as well.
Now, I want to bring up some of the issues that have come up in some of the communities in the metro area. There's Lee's Summit, Missouri, and Shawnee, Kansas, where residents have raised a few concerns about the coming of Walmart to their neighborhood. And I wonder if you can respond to some of them. One of them is about a possible increase in crime around Walmarts, and the other is about property values.
Sure. Well, you know, I think what we've seen, let me answer the second one first. What we've seen is that, and we have some studies that have come up where people, and I, sorry, I can't reference the study right off the top of my head, but there is a study that suggests that Walmart neighborhoods surrounded or near a Walmart, will increase their property value over time. And that's because of the availability, but for many different reasons. And what they've seen in this study is that neighborhood or home property values have actually gone up. Whereas for crime, you know, we have state-of-the-art surveillance systems. We work with local police departments, and we ensure that, you know, we're working with the community to provide a safe shopping environment. And first and foremost, the safety and security of our associates and our customers is very important. And we take that very seriously. So we want to make sure that our stores are safe and that our communities and the communities that we serve are safe. And we're going to work with those communities to ensure that we can provide, you know, the best surveillance and safety measures to keep them safe while they're shopping at our stores.
When this came up in Lee's Summit at a city council meeting last week, the police chief said that there were more calls to the Walmart in Lee's Summit than any other place. However, he said that he attributed that to the security at the Walmart, that they're maybe more effective at catching shoplifters than most of the other stores. Is there a special Walmart approach to security that other stores don't share?
Well, we don't discuss our security measures so we can keep them so we can continue to keep them secure, but we do work very closely with local law enforcement to ensure that we're looking to ensure a safe shopping environment for our customers at our stores.
And let me ask about one more issue that has come up. Some residents point to questions about Walmart's employment practices. They know that Walmart brings a lot of jobs to a community, but question whether those are jobs with benefits and some of the working conditions for employees. Well, you know, there have been kind of stories around the country, yeah, and around the world about that, and it's hard to summarize that into one sentence. But
right. Well, look, I'm glad you brought that up because we're really proud of our jobs. They're some of the best jobs in the retail industry. Competitive pay, good benefits, and the opportunity to build a career. In fact, more than 75% of all store management throughout our stores started off as hourly associates. I mean, we have great stories where cart pushers are now running, you know, regions in our company. And that's the rule more than the exception. Our wages and benefits typically meet or exceed those offered by a majority of our competitors. And each position is assigned a level or pay range based on its job responsibilities. Also, the majority of our associates are within pay range and receive yearly pay increases based on performance, which tends to be higher than the retail industry average. So nationally, our full-time average hourly wage is about $12.52 per hour. And in Missouri, our full-time average hourly wage is about $12.50 per hour. And it's a figure we voluntarily share in every state where we do business. We also, you know, a lot of times people ask us about our medical plans, and Walmart medical plans are available for as little as $19 biweekly, and we insure more than 1 million people in the United States. So we also, I mean, some of the other benefits to our jobs, we provide a corporate match up to 6% on our 401ks, and we promote from within. And in 2011, more than 161,000 hourly associates in Walmart U.S. stores received promotions, and the majority of those associates were women. And more than 300,000 of our U.S. associates have been with the company for more than 10 years. So it shows that there's a clear progress within our stores. And so I think there's a lot of questions that usually come up, but I think when it comes to jobs, you know, we're proud of our jobs at Walmart.
What about benefits for part-time employees?
you know, our associates are eligible for certain benefits, but like most of the retail industry, you know, we don't offer some of our associates who are part-timers do continue to hold health insurance, but there's others that are coming into the company that at this current time do not.
And there's some talk of the unionization of some of your employees. I wonder what Walmart's view of that is.
Well, I think what you've seen is that our associates are, you know, first of all, we're open to the conversation, but all those decisions are made at the local level on a community-by-community basis. And like the majority of the retail industry, Walmart, as you mentioned, is not unionized, but we are pro-associate. And, you know, we foster an environment of open communications with our associates, and our open-door policy encourages any associate to take their concerns directly to members of management. We take that policy very seriously, and you know, we act immediately when somebody doesn't follow that policy or utilizes it as intended. And you know, looking at all we offer, our associates have, you know, they continue to show that they just don't seem to feel union membership would be a better deal. We offer competitive pay and benefits. We have a culture promoting from within, and our ongoing growth enables us to offer almost unprecedented opportunity for advancement for our associates.
And just to sum up, what are some things that you think would surprise people about Walmart's role in local communities?
Well, I think our role, it continues to be strong. I think people know us well. I think they have, you know, I think that they're surprised about, I think something you mentioned too in the beginning of our conversation, which is that we're very much part of the fabric of that community, where people see Walmart as a place to come gather, get news, talk to fellow neighbors and people in their cities and their communities and their towns. And we're very much part of that fabric of that community, and will continue to be so.
Well, Daniel Morales is Director of Communications at Walmart. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us for today's Central Standard. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Claire McInerney. Up to Date is next with presidential historian Richard Norton Smith. See you Sunday on KC Currents.